previously on 24.
What the hell is this? All our screens for the Eastern Quadrant are locked.
I took out your control units. I want you to see what we can do. Get ready to make the course change.
GSA 117, this is Northeast 3 Control.
Go ahead, air traffic control.
We have a new runway assignment for you.
Sid, there's another plane landing on 4 right. Across to 3-1 left.
GSA 117, pull up.
4 right, pull up.
That was just a warning shot.
Whatever we do next,
it'll be the real thing.
Get the module ready.
As promised.
General Juma will be pleased.
Perhaps now would be a good time to make your demands known to President Taylor.
Make the preparations. Your government is about to pay a very steep price for interfering in our affairs.
They assumed my son killed himself. Didn't look deeply enough at anything.
The authorities have already questioned your son's girlfriend, sir.
You're not going anywhere till I get the truth.
Sir!
You know who murdered my son.
He killed himself.
I'm gonna find out what you're hiding. And when I do, God help you.
You're right. He's not one of ours. We'll follow him, see if he leads us back to Almeida. Darn it!
That's not the right move. You can't bring anyone else into this.
What the hell's going on?
Yeah, we're following up on a lead, and I will
fill you in if and when we find something.
Not like this. I just flat out lied to my boss.
I told you I would help you find Tony Almeida, but you're gonna have to let me do it my way. Tony! Stop!
Device gone. The locator files have been deleted.
Where is it? What the hell happened to you?
The following takes place between 10 a.m. and 11 a.m.
Where's Almeida?
You're watching 24, season 7, 10 to 11 a.m. I'm Brandon Braga.
Oh, I'm Carlos Bernard.
And I'm Manny Cotto.
I'm here sandwiched between two of our writers, if you can imagine. This is episode 3 in the season.
Episode 3 in the season. The first episode that Brandon and I wrote this season. I'll repeat the... it was Brandon's first episode writing on 24, so he just kind of made sure my coffee was warm.
Manny me write one line of dialogue.
It was a very good one, too.
Which line was that?
It was an Ethan Kanan line.
Oh, excellent.
When he walks in and says, "Madam President,"
that was mine.
That was Brandon's line. It was ma'am, but Brandon decided he should maybe just address her
and
as
because full. Because I'm paid by the word.
Right.
It's very good, though. It was very well done.
But in all seriousness, it was an exciting episode to write because we knew there was a great pivotal scene, one of the great scenes of the season, I think, when Jack interrogates Tony and the reversal comes. Yeah.
This is one of my favorite episodes of the entire 7 years, I think. It really, really reminded me of the first season very much. And... I don't know. This is one of my favorite episodes ever. I think it has all the sort of basic vintage 24 elements, you know. Stand your forces down.
Voice print's an 89% match. It's Dubaku. There's little doubt.
Looks like your suspicions were correct, Madam President. This is about Africa.
Take your gum out,
sorry.
For gosh sakes.
I'm chewing gum.
We're in a DVD commentary. This is... Didn't you teach him this when you were writing the episode?
Sorry,
we're just writing the episode now, but months, years from now, we're going to be doing a DVD commentary. Don't chew gum during it.
I'm addicted to nicotine gum, so I apologize.
If we were in the cigar room, this wouldn't be a problem.
Yeah, we should be doing this in the cigar room right now.
Absolutely. So what else is there to say about
this?
Not
much,
scene?
I think.
This is the scene basically sets up the situation, the problem.
You have to remember, you know, we've been long done with this season. So this is like a flashback to very early in the season. We wrote this episode and produced this episode when? I mean,
a year and a half ago.
So it's like a real flashback.
Yeah.
We're just establishing the basic elements of this season. Dubaku and Tony Almeida at this point is still considered to be a bad guy.
Well, this is sort of a setup for the rest of the episode here, right?
Absolutely.
There it is.
Ladies and gentlemen. This is a great.
So Carlos, when they called you to say you're coming back after your character was dead, what was your reaction? What was your thinking? Were you like right on, or were you like, what do you mean?
They originally called during season 6, and I remember that didn't work out. Nobody was really crazy about the idea for season 6. But then I remember running into Manny, actually, at a party, at Peter Weller's party over the summer.
Right.
And he was like, you know, we're still thinking about bringing you back.
Yeah.
And, of course, I had to, you know, flip him a few dollars. He gave me, like, the name of his charity I had to donate to, which
it
was
worked,
really in his own name. And
but I remember the original conception was, I thought it was still a lot of fun, was the ending season 6 with you know, Jack on the cliff, and suddenly Jack hears a voice from behind, and it's Jack. Basically, Tony stops Jack from jumping off the edge.
Well, and it was originally your idea to bring the character back, right?
Yes, it was. It was. I always thought it was. You know, we've gone.
Us Hispanics stick together. You know?
Yeah, you know, we got to watch out for each other, man. So when the show's over, I expect you, whatever series you're on.
You got it, man.
We got to bring Manny Cotto. He's a good writer.
Manny, tell the story of how this all went down, because we went through so many incarnations at the beginning of the season about what we were going to do, and it was really not until you said, we've got to bring Tony back. We even went through an incarnation where an old friend of Jack's was doing all the CIP stuff.
Right. Well, we were talking about Gary Oldman getting
some big actor.
We wanted to lower the budget. It was too expensive, so we decided to stay with the car. No, but in reality, we just realized there's no emotional resonance with whoever it was, whatever actor, unless it's Tony Almeida. And, you know, every season, I think, needs a great hook, you know, whatever it's going to be. And
an emotional hook for Jack.
Exactly, precisely. And this was a double whammy. Tony Almeida is alive, and he's marshaling terrorist actions. And
which is really, given Jack's position, just about the only thing that would rope him in.
Exactly. Yeah, it gets harder, and even today, in discussing season 8, which we're doing now, bringing back, getting Jack into the story is another challenge.
This is one of my favorite parts of the season, though, when Janine pulled my shirt up. It was, I think the two of us, this was a special moment for both of us, I think.
Yeah, we love this moment. We were hoping maybe there's some romance that develops later on down the road. We were actually thinking about she had some strange crush on you, and that would develop into something strange down the road. We weren't sure whether it would
She played this great embarrassment, though.
Yeah,
it was really
did.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Is he hooked up? Yeah, we're ready to go.
You make a great bad guy, dude. I mean, you look like you'd kill, you know, baby kittens.
What? We think someone in this office has been helping Almeida. We've kicked this up to level 4 clearance. I want you to vet all communication and information flow. Red tag every data point that has to do with Almeida.
Okay, well, do we have any idea who it is?
No, we don't.
Well, you know what? It was a great setup for the character, because given what he'd been through in the years before this, it was really almost organic feeling. It really was.
It sure was, especially with what happened in season 5, you losing everyone, the most important person in your life. This was also beautifully shot, this episode.
Yeah.
Wonderfully
Brad
directed.
Turner.
Yeah.
I'll never forget this day, because I had gotten food poisoning the day before this, and I was up all night throwing up and didn't sleep 1 minute before this day of shooting. And we started shooting at 6:30 in the morning. And in between takes, I'd go out in the hallway and puke.
Wow.
It was Dick Cheney's wife showed up
on the set. So that was the kicker.
No, I mean, I felt bad because she came up to say hi, and I was like, ugh, I might throw up on you. No offense.
You know, interestingly enough, at this point in the season, you got the Sean Hillinger character here and the Janice Gold character. We didn't really know who was a mole and who wasn't at this point.
Right.
No, which is, I think, really makes... Because we don't quite know, I think it legitimizes the
well,
audience.
The actors aren't playing toward it as well.
Well, I think Reese had a great thing going on with that character that just naturally made you think that something was up with him.
No, it's too risky. You'd be jeopardizing the entire mission.
I love this actor here. I can't remember his name, but he had this great sort of nervousness to him, which was wonderful. It wasn't your stereotypical.
He looks like somebody who's barely keeping things together.
Yeah.
Everything's about to slip out from under him.
Nichols.
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 It's time for a more forceful demonstration.
If it comes to that, we'll be ready. For now, let's give the White House a little more time to respond.
Peter's a great actor, too. He was wonderful to work with.
Yeah, Emerson.
Really, just a great, great.
We were really just settling on the idea at this point that Emerson and Tony had a friendship, which would become critical in episode 6, I guess, and really be elucidated.
Yeah, and he played that great. I mean, he was really, I thought he did a great job with that character.
This is Larry Moss.
Not the acting teacher. Do you guys know about Larry Moss, the acting teacher?
No.
Very famous acting teacher in Los Angeles.
Did he die recently?
I don't think so. I think he's still alive. You just want to kill everybody off, don't you?
The impulse on this show.
By insisting we stand down the invasion force off the coast of Sangala. If the president doesn't comply with his demands, Dubaku is going to start killing Americans.
I can get you your CIP device. Just let me talk to him. I know him. I know how he thinks. We have a history. I can use it against him.
I love the dynamic between these two characters, between the Larry character and Kiefer.
Yeah. Their instant dislike was...
Yeah.
We played all around with that a lot for the whole season. I mean, we had a lot of trouble, just figuring out how to get Jack in the room, I remember. Would they believe... Remember the arguments we had? Believably, would Jack be allowed to interrogate Tony? I remember really agonizing and would Larry do it, and wouldn't he? And we knew we had to get Jack in there. And then how for Tony to give Jack this code?
Well, remember, for a while, there was no code.
Right. What was it? What did we?
I don't remember where we were going, but it was Bob Cochran that was like he should give him, a code. But I don't know. Were we gonna do it for a while? Was Tony just gonna remain bad? I don't remember. It was such a long time ago.
No, I think we knew he was going to somehow. Maybe escape on his own. I don't remember how it worked, but this came together.
Or maybe Buchanan was just going to call Jack or something.
Yeah.
Now, did you ever have Larry interrogating me first before Jack?
Yes, we did.
We did?
We at one point had
Larry
interrogate Jack.
Because that makes sense, because he can't get anything out of him.
I think we did. And he couldn't get anything out of him, and then we had Jack go in.
Right. It was like, Larry, you should let Jack go in there, yeah.
And it was two, it was just one beat.
We wrote the scene, but then we kept the scene as just a little downbeat later with the photographs.
And we shuffled it around.
Yeah. But this was the juicy scene.
Oh, that's
right,
because when we shot that scene with Larry interrogating, that was actually coming before this, right? Is that right?
No.
Not in the final.
We shot it first, but we didn't, in the final script, it was always where it is now. Mm-hmm. But we did write an earlier version where Larry interrogated you first.
This is great because this is, really our first conversation with each other.
This is one of the juicy scenes of the episode.
Well, what's great is that the explanation and the way you played it, Carlos played it, is you really believe that he's got the grievances, and the grievances are believable, and you buy it. And then right in that same scene, we flip it.
Yeah.
And you realize it.
And he's provoking Jack with the mention of Terry and so forth.
Yeah, that was wonderful.
Charles Logan is a product of his environment. The government poisons everything in his path.
This was my contribution as an Ayn Randian.
Yeah. Well, the government was... Charles Logan is a product of his environment. Remember, we fought to keep that line in. That was your line.
Right.
And the government poisons. I don't think Howard wanted to keep those lines. He didn't quite get them. But Manny, it's Manny's outlook on life.
Don't you see, Howard? Don't you see? You've drank the Kool-Aid, Howard.
Jack, no! You need to hear this! You need to start living in the real world! Because every second you help the government, you're spitting on Terry's grave!
Here's the moment the audience is waiting for.
He's losing it.
Hold on.
Show me where the device is! So help me God, I will kill you, and you will stay dead this time. Where is the device?
This is your last chance.
Where is it?
I remember sitting in a room for about 45 minutes trying to find the right code word.
Right.
That didn't sound stupid.
Blue flamingo.
Yeah.
Blue rider.
Get him out of here.
Pink chickens.
Get him out of here now.
Dove crap.
But in all seriousness, that was a great scene.
Yeah,
it was one of the great scenes of the season.
Keep an eye on him.
This is a wonderful moment. I remember showing the first three episodes to some friends of mine, actually Rush Limbaugh and some of the group of Rush's house. Sure. And
Tony's not really bad, is he? I knew he wasn't bad.
But I will say, they watched the first two, and they were great, and then this moment came up, and I remember one of them was watching it, and he just burst into applause. Some guy just listening to it on his headphone at this moment when he realized, A, that Tony wasn't bad, and B, that Buchanan is and Chloe are all involved in this secret clandestine sting operation.
Yeah, well, this was really well executed, this whole reveal of Bill.
He orchestrated a terrorist attack on the United States today.
I love when he pulls the voice.
Yeah, it's terrific.
Machine off.
The FBI brought me in to help track him down.
We need to talk, Jack.
I'll call you back on a secure VPN line.
Bill, what the hell is going on?
I need 10 minutes to set up the VPN.
I don't have 10 minutes.
10 minutes, Jack.
I know, I can see Rush sitting going,
there's Chloe, she's here, I knew she was in this season. Damn it, why did you keep her from me for so long?
They were the first audience for the first three episodes. We didn't know what we had, and we showed them down there, and they all flipped.
Jack's in a very helpful frame of mind.
Is our only hope.
Oh, that was very well done. That was vintage 24. Those moments right there. Yeah. I think.
Hello, Henry.
Ethan, I got your message about Sangala. Where's Allison?
She's in her office. Henry.
You guys are going to have to talk about this. I have nothing to say. Except
this is the.
It looks like the White House, and it seems like these people really work in the White House.
But you can't give it to her if you keep going.
Well, this was a subplot that actually worked quite well, I think. Him, this father not believing that his son committed suicide. And, you know, he I believe in this episode he learns as well that it was actually
a murder.
A murder, and he was right all along. And in this scene, he's told that he's been wrong, and he's given proof. And it's kind of a classic 24 moment, which again we're discussing for an episode for season 8, is where the character believes something, and then learns that he's wrong, that indeed he's been going down the wrong path, and then it's turned around in the next scene. One of the great things the show does, it just keeps spinning you around.
Through his access to the president. Before the SEC opened the investigation.
Two great actors.
All of these episodes were written before we did the prequel that took place in Africa.
That's right.
We were kind of relying on all of this stuff landing with the audience without any preamble or setup. So we were very grateful in one small regard that the writer's strike happened, in that it allowed us to do this prequel and not only do a cool couple hours, but really set everything up and meet the son and establish John Voight.
Yeah.
Because we were planning to just air this alone.
Exactly.
And it the audience may not have really been able to absorb this as
well. They now understood Sangala. They saw Sangala. They were in the country and they saw it fall apart. And so when the president's going on about invasion, we understand where she's coming from. And
it really is. The whole season was really... I mean, the show's been blessed from the very first day of the very first season, you know. But this whole year, again, the show was just blessed in these remarkable ways that I think, you know, now having finished the entire season, I just think that it's one of our stronger seasons, and the strike had a lot to do with it, you know.
Well, it's interesting this was a particularly tough season to birth. There were a lot of creative problems at the top, trying to figure out where to start the season and what the story was going to be, and there were arguments and whatnot, and then followed with the strike, and in a way we thought it was cursed.
Yeah,
we're like, this
for the
season
longest
is
time.
Doomed.
This is the cursed season.
Isn't that just the way life is, man?
It is. It is.
You think you're cursed, and then it turns out
to be a blessing.
That maybe you are.
Well, but even as you're saying, well, the Rush Limbaugh people saw it and liked it. We were like, they're wrong.
Yeah, no, something.
They're just being polite.
We also, the strike also, you know.
Who were the Rush Limbaugh? Let's stop right here. Who were the Rush Limbaugh people now?
It's a group of friends of Rush who we fly down to Rush's house every once in a while, have some cigars and talk politics, and nice people. I don't know if I want to give out their names.
Don't give out their names.
They're prominent people.
If you don't
give
out their names, I can make fun of them. But if you give out their names, I'm not allowed to make fun. Now, Rush.
It's not a big secret. These guys are. I mean, but these are prominent industry people. Very, very nice guys. Fans of the show, and
who are now sending somebody to kill me again.
Does stand a good chance of preserving American lives.
You mean withdrawal?
We are nearing the time when we may have to consider
it. It's interesting the reactions we're getting on the fan sites as these episodes are airing regarding her decision, the president's decision not to withdraw. A lot of fans are reacting, seem to feel it's a wrong decision on her part, not, you know, it's putting African lives ahead of American lives.
Uh-huh.
There's a big discussion about it, and something that never really occurred to me. While we were writing, I thought it was an interesting, you know, dilemma where some people feel it's no dilemma at all.
Mm-hmm.
Pull out,
of course.
All right, dial the number. Bill, stop screwing around. Tell me what the hell is going on.
I love this thing that you guys created here in this episode where it's two hackers competing against each other, you know?
That was one idea we really were excited about.
We knew we wanted to do that all along.
Yeah.
Pitting Chloe against Janet.
Really great. And, you know, on the page, it's funny because sometimes you read this stuff and you think, God, is this gonna play, you know? But it absolutely did. It really.
Well, because the dialogue is kind of dry, technical dialogue,
right,
with a couple little funny lines. But you need these actors
to bring
it to life.
But the two actors, right, exactly, yeah. They both have great irony.
We have reason to believe that members of the president's inner council are on payroll.
Our sync is off on this DVD.
That's right.
It looks like
tell them that. They can't see it.
A Godzilla movie, right?
We're working outside the
they can't see what we're watching.
That's why we have to get Tony back undercover.
He's at FBI headquarters, Bill.
I never said it was going
to
be.
This was a challenge, writing-wise, is how to believably stage an escape from FBI without making FBI look like buffoons. It was tough, and we went through a lot of incarnations. We finally came up with the car action beat at the end, which I think kind of was the kicker.
We didn't have that car.
We didn't.
The script was in prep, and the whole sequence of them escaping from the FBI actually just ended with them running through the parking lot and meeting Bill's van.
Right.
And I think it was the studio
that said,
"Gee, this is a little flat."
Wasn't it Brad? I thought it was Brad who came over.
It might have been Brad Turner.
This feels a little anticlimactic.
Right, and it would have been.
Yeah,
I'm sure nobody's answered any calls from FBI lately in this office.
It's the FBI calling again.
They're a little pissed off. The FBI is not alone. We stage escapes from every government agency, including Social Security.
I'm sure they're all proud that Jack Bauer escaped and Tony Almeida escaped.
Those data mining plugins we downloaded last week. Where do we file those?
And I love this hairdo that he gave himself, that Bruce gave himself for this character. It's great. A little coiffed look. I like her hairdo, too.
I just don't like having to dance around this level.
And her glasses.
I like her blouse.
It's a plum. Would you call that plum?
These are, we're running out of things to talk about.
Well, this is the old setting up the mole. Is it the mole? Is he not the mole?
Right.
And then pulling the rug out from under you when you just when you think you've...
Well, it turns out he's not the mole. And then, later he's
on,
the mole.
He is the mole. A lot of reversals in this episode. Here's another one here where he realizes, where he learns that he's actually on the right track.
I was going to call you. I owe you an apology, Sam. I was wrong to confront you like that.
No, you weren't.
I wasn't completely honest with you.
What do you mean?
This is a scene Brandon wrote.
I wrote all the boring scenes.
And this will be the last episode you write on 24, young man.
Will you meet me?
Of course.
Where's the CIP device?
So you guys literally divvy up scenes? You go off and write by yourselves?
No, we actually write together.
You write them together?
We sit in a room and write pound it out together. Which in a show of this intricate, you can't do it any other way. You can't divvy up scenes and then try to fit them together
right.
In a way. Though some writers do that on this show. They actually do. It's just...
But we actually...
You like each other, so you'll actually be in a room together.
We do. We like writing together. It's fun.
Right.
And it's easier and makes it pleasurable. We write
and
till...
A better product.
Yeah.
It also is faster.
Yeah.
I think,
a lot. We get a lot of work done. And...
So this scene was never before the other one. Is that
it might have been, man. He said it was.
It may have one incarnation of it was. Maybe it was. It was at one point. I'm pretty sure we wrote one scene where Larry interrogates Tony, and then
he doesn't. He's not impactful.
Because unless she does, planes will be falling.
But Larry looks particularly inept here. It's like, what does he think he's going to get out of him?
Yeah, yeah. That earpiece doesn't help either, and that was his choice, which was beautiful. I thought. You know, and those little Bluetooth things they wear in their ear.
Larry, we need to talk.
I did like that exchange about dead Americans.
Yeah.
You're going to have a whole another set of photos. I think that was your line, Brandon. That was a great line. You're going to have another set of photos to look at. Dead Americans. And this one of dead Americans.
I don't remember. It might have been yours.
This is why you guys work so well together.
He's a trained CTU agent. He's conducted interrogations just like this one. There's nothing you can say to him that he hasn't said himself 100 times.
So what are you suggesting? We give up?
No. I'm suggesting we might need a more forceful approach.
You mean torture?
No, there are methods...
Which is a theme that runs through the season in a way it hasn't in previous seasons. We're actually putting it to the forefront and having discussions about it. And, you know, one of the ways we looked at this season is this is... a character's soul in play. You know, and Annie Wershing's character, is she going to, which direction is she going to go? Where is she going to end up? Is she going down Jack's path to personal destruction in a way, or is she...
Can she handle it?
Right.
And Tony, being the, once we realize he is a villain in the end, he takes it all the way. What?
You can't say that now.
Well, they've watched the season, haven't they?
How do you know? Maybe they watched this first.
Well, they're going to watch the goal, and that's the
who
problem.
Watches an episode season
with
commentary
before what are you
before
kidding?
Watch
That's how entertaining our commentary is. Forget about the show. Let's watch the
after
commentary.
After they listen to this commentary, they're not going to be listening to any more commentary.
I'm sorry, but you were saying. What were you saying?
No, I'm just saying that Tony, it takes it all the way. Tony, you know, there's a great speech in episode 24, I think, where Jack is... telling Renee, if you go down this path, you could end up like Tony.
No, I thought it was very, I thought it was great that you guys took on that issue this year with everything that's been going on over the last couple of years and just faced it head on and dealt with it.
Yeah, I mean, starting with Jack in front of the Senate committee. Brought up on charges, we thought it was a good idea to actually really, you know, because in a way, the last year, the show has been brought up on charges.
Yeah, right.
And we thought it would be fun to just really just dramatize it.
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing?
What's the matter?
You just stay where you are.
I don't remember when we wrote this if we actually knew that Sean was going to turn out to be the mole or not.
I don't think we did.
I think I mentioned this in another commentary, but I'll mention it again. What the heck is that? At one point, we were discussing having everyone be the mole. And just to do a... this was the scene that obviously wouldn't allow that, because Janice is obviously...
Actually, Manny, we did talk about doing your Murder on the Orient Express idea where the entire FBI were all moles.
Except for Renee.
Except for Renee. And we were talking... We even went so far as to recut this scene.
Oh, that's right. We did, didn't
to,
we?
To accommodate that.
Right.
Because it's so clear that they're not in on it together. So right. We actually almost
where
went
was
down.
It? Where was it? Where was that going to go?
Episode 10-ish, I think.
Yeah.
But I mean,
down the road, it was just going to be
entire.
It was going to be all our principal characters. It was going to be
Larry.
They were all working together.
All working together.
For Dubaku. The same thing that we ended up with Sean and Erica. It was going to be everyone.
I like that idea.
It was a cool idea. I think because we're always trying to find a variation on a theme here.
Right,
and.
Right.
You know, I think what we ended up was pretty fun. But
The other thing I love about what you guys do is it seems like you always ask yourselves what can't happen, you know, and then try to make that happen.
Right. Yeah, I remember seeing the recut to this, Brandon, and it was pretty strange. There wasn't much left.
Yeah.
Walker is on her way. She's heading down the corridor towards your room.
Copy that. How are you doing with the loops?
I'm dropping the first one in now. I have a series of loops. I'm going to drop them as you go.
Security won't see a thing.
That's all right. I'll take it from here.
Understand. Standing by. Hey.
So Manny talks about reversals. I mean, it's... Renee initially trusts Jack, then he betrays her. Then she trusts him.
Right. This is a great reversal. Exactly, because she's been, you know, fighting against Larry for Jack, you know, fighting to use him and, you know, interrogation and to trust him, and here he does something that makes her look like she screwed up.
Maybe it'll help.
Jack! Don't fight it. Fight it.
It's a great shot.
It's a terrific sequence that's coming up. It's one of the best of the season.
He has her key card and her weapon. He's going to get Tony. What's your location?
About 10 minutes out.
Did you get my rendezvous point?
We actually added this scene
right.
later.
Tough to track a neon blue van through the city.
The best part is he's got his Jack sack
back. Tried to decorate it with Christmas lights just so it would stand out a little less.
Wait for my call.
Now! What the hell do you think you're doing?
I said do it now!
I think there's a lot of audience satisfaction when Jack finally
clocks Larry.
Slowly! Now you!
I like the silent understanding here, too, that you know, Tony knows exactly that, you know, that Jack's been brought up to speed.
Yeah, it's like right in that moment they're working together.
Right.
for the first time. And there aren't any words needed.
Where's Agent Walker? What did you do to her?
Shut up.
Bauer, you're not going to make it out of here.
I said shut up!
I like the double.
Tony's got some good good moves this season.
Yeah, he does.
I like in episode, which episode is it? Where he does that kick under the guy's legs.
Oh, he sweeps the sweep under the legs. Right?
The sweep kick. Was that 18?
I vaguely remember 18. Doing it, but I don't remember what episode.
You ready?
Clear to move.
This was fun with Tony and Jack, the little character.
There's a nice exchange coming up where he's apologizing for what he said. Beautifully underplayed. Here we had to add some sneak and creep.
Yeah, we did.
This is a great moment.
Needed to get you close enough to give you Bill's code name. Just glad I didn't break your neck. Well, you came close. Yeah. Sorry about that.
Yeah, it's a great beat. And the smile there is terrific.
It's great. But yeah, we extended, you probably remember, Carlos, you came back for some additional shooting to this whole getting out of the FBI sneak around sequence because it felt
right.
It felt just a little too easy.
Too easy, right? Yeah.
We also remember one time we had them break into an office full of
people
that they took hostage or something. They made
we
them
maybe we took it a little too far.
Interestingly enough, when we shot the scene coming up here with the fire hydrant through or the extinguisher through the window here, we were in a room filled with people. We were in an actual office. And this particular office, we're all fans of 24.
So oh my gosh.
We came in the middle of their workday and smashed the window and escaped out of their office. And they were all standing there with signs.
No kidding. Wow.
And
they must have been. So they were able to look out and see you guys running across the roof kind of thing?
You mean once we got out of there?
Yeah.
Well, I'll show you. It's coming up here down in it. It plays here as a. Let's see here. It plays the interior here plays in a staircase.
Right, it's coming up.
But the exterior shot of us crawling out is actually us crawling out of this office filled with people that were at work. It was kind of funny.
This Chloe versus Janet exchange has been being termed Mac versus PC because Janice is on they're on PCs and Chloe's got an Apple.
Oh, that's hilarious!
That's so great. It's like... It was very well done, really well executed.
Security, this is Janice Gold. We have a code 12 in progress. We need a team to interrogation one.
Larry still got his earpiece on.
Yeah, he sure. Yeah, how about that?
We gotta keep moving. Let's go.
God bless Sean Callery here again.
Yeah.
I mean, he always elevates these things, you know.
Our composer.
50% Sean Callery, our composer, yes.
Yeah, I mean it's hard to overstate his effect on the show.
Oh, we'll watch a cut that we just isn't.
We want to slice our wrists,
and then he'll do a number on it, and it's like the greatest episode we've seen all year.
Yeah, it's really wonderful. He's always been one of my heroes on this show. That's the thing about the show is you don't realize all the different amazingly talented people that come together to put it, you know, to make it. Do what it does.
Well, this is one of the few shows I've worked on where you'll write a script and you'll hand it in and it comes back and it's 1,000% better than what you ever imagined. It's always improved production-wise. The actors and the production, where very, very often the writers are like, what happened? But on this show, it's like, thank God.
Come on, Chloe, talk to me.
I'm still locked out.
Time to work around it.
Jack, we're some dogs if we stay here. I know. Chloe, we have to take this down, but we don't have a choice.
Did you just say quietly? Quietly.
Like, really?
Quietly.
This was the office building you were in?
Stairwell?
This stairwell. Obviously, the inside shot was a stairwell, but the exterior shot of us going through this window. Yeah, it was an actual office filled with people. She's great.
In the southwest stairwell, descending past the fifth floor. Lock on the building perimeter and deploy two teams in the first floor service corridor. Be aware, the suspects are armed. We need them alive.
Quietly.
What was that? Hacker's back in. Who
whoever this is, they're very good.
Well, lock them out.
I'm fine.
That's great. It's a great exchange.
Jack, hold up.
What is it?
You're heading into an ambush. It's a six-man team. They're heading up toward you on the stairwell.
I mean, what Jeff Nordling does with that character is so difficult, really.
It's a thankless role.
You really, you but he adds such a great element to it. See, now this shot right here, we're actually crawling out of people's office. they're all in there in the middle of work, and we come in there for about 20 minutes and just
where was this
break
shot?
Their window. It was at the LA Times building.
Oh, right, sure.
Now, originally, as written, you get away here. That was it.
That was right. It.
The big jump through the window. That was the end of the rest of the line.
Damn, it's tough.
And this whole thing where you're assaulted by guys, that was not in there. You know, we added this whole thing during pre-production. I'll be right
behind you. Go! This was fun.
This was a great run. How much of this did you, as it looks like, obviously...
Yeah, I tweaked my knee there when I landed.
Yeah. Is that you? But you jumped off that van in the car there, dude.
Yeah, well, he did the long jump and I did all the short ones. But he's, he's a great stunt guy. He's particularly skilled at those high jumps like that. And,
What's his name?
Now, this is funny because they pulled in this van right behind me, and we'd never really worked this out, and the thing came pretty damn close.
Yeah, it is. That's a little hairy there. I was wondering that when I saw it. I thought that looked a little bit dangerous.
I was like, well, you know what? Hopefully it won't hit me.
So this was a line when Jack says, this is going to hurt. That was improvised by Kiefer.
That was Kiefer's line.
And great stunt.
That's a terrific stunt.
And we debated whether it was a little too Lethal Weapon-y, but
yeah, it's a little Joel Silver,
and not quite in keeping with the show. But
what the heck?
Every once in a while, those
people
lines
loved
work,
it.
Though, yeah.
People loved it, did they not?
Yes.
Jack still has his man purse.
Yep.
Go, Bill.
And there it is, that tough to find blue van.
Yeah, it was a marvelously staged escape. You really buy.
It was really well done.
Because it was tough. You saw how tough it was. It wasn't easy to do, and you bought it.
Look at her face. I love her reaction to that.
Yeah.
She's just like...
All right, Chloe, I got him. He's starting pursuit.
Not so far.
Those little D.C. second units really were effective.
They go a long way. We did film a lot in D.C.
Yeah, we did, and we actually partied a lot in D.C. too. We wished we took more trips to D.C. because it was fun.
You know you're in D.C. shots because they always pan to a monument.
Yeah, right. The Capitol.
The Capitol, the Washington Monument.
No wasting shots in D.C.
Thanks for watching and listening to the most boring commentary in the history, I think, of DVD.